I was 12 when daddy said to me, take the drinking, boy, that road don't lead nowhere. And don't you ever let me hear you swear, don't you dare. Told me stealing is a lazy man's way. Something for nothing leaves you held, the face don't lie. And you can look the whole world in the eye. Honey, I tried. Since I met you, girl, I'm breaking every rule. I must confess I'm just a backsliding fool. I want a drink from your loving cup. Swear I'll never give you up. Steal all your kisses underneath the moon. I want to lie here close to you. But what you made me do, darling, you're the reason why. Drink, swear, steal, and lie. Out of threw away my 12-step book. Finally faced the fact that I am hooked on you. There's nothing more that I can do. Ain't no use. 'Cause every time I see your angel face, my halo disappears without its rays. I swear, girl, I admit I haven't got a prayer. Honey, I swear, I know this ain't exactly how it rains. Oh, but heaven help me, honey, I ain't changing my ways. I wanna drink from your loving cup. Swear I'll never give you up. Steal all your kisses underneath the moon.
Appreciate that. How many married people do we have in the room? Let me hear from the married people. How many happily married people do we have in the room here today? This is for y'all.
No man worships money more than his honey. Overtime, his overtime is alimony. And a man who loves that whiskey glass more than his better half, 10 out of 9 times he'll wind up lonely. There's liars and there's cheaters, but I'm a firm believer. The end begins way back at the source. Marriage is the leading cause of divorce.
Statistics are deceiving. They can't analyze the reasons, but the more they try, the farther they're off course. From the moment that you say I do, chances are that you're already through. The end begins way back at the source. Marriage is the leading cause of divorce.
That's funny right there. I don't care who you are.
It ain't babies having babies, or men turning on their ladies, or ladies turning on their boss and working late. Oh, it ain't crazy mother-in-laws, or a midlife crisis, menopause, or how much you no longer want to mate. I've come to one conclusion. confusion. It ain't all that confusing. The end begins way back at the source. Oh, marriage is the leading cause of what? Of divorce.
Statistics are deceiving. They can analyze the reasons, but the more they try, the farther they're off course. From the moment that you say I do, chances are that you're already through. The end begins way back at the source. The forevers that have ever been to court. Marriage is the leading cause of divorce.
Thank you very much. Hold it, bro. That's fine. That's all right. You can hold that. You can back that up. That'd be great. Hey, listen, my name is Michael Peterson. If you like the music, please remember that. If you don't like the music, hi, my name is Kenny Chesney. I'm glad you're all ready to laugh today. I could use a good laugh today. It's been one of those days. I am so glad to be here with y'all. But enough about me. Let me find out a little bit more about you. I asked this a moment ago and ask it again. How many folks are married here? Any married? Most of us here are married. I want to find out who's been married the longest. Who's been married 30 years or more? How about 40? Any 40s? Any 50s? Right here? In a row? What's your name? Nancy? Is your husband here with you? That's the secret right there, isn't it? Nancy, how long have you been married exactly? That's pretty amazing, y'all. 54 years. There was a young lady I met right before the program began. I think she's sitting over here. She told me she's getting married. Where are you sitting? Where are you sitting at? There, she's way in the back, I guess. She said, my song, I'm having your song, the song I'm about to sing. She said, I'm having it in my wedding. I said, well, who are you getting married to? Who's a lucky guy? She said, I don't know yet. So we got two extremes here today, don't we? You've been married 54 years. Tell me something. I've been married 24 this August, and I'm trying to make it, you know, as long as I can. And I've been working on a theory for what I think makes for a lasting marriage, especially for men. I think there's a couple of secrets. And guys, you tell me if you agree with me on this or not. But I think the first secret to a lasting marriage for men is that every married man should forget his mistakes. You agree? I mean, no sense in two people remembering the same bad information forever. Right? And I think the second thing is you never let your wife cut your hair when she's mad at you. That's a bad idea right there. Anyway, I want to dedicate this song to you and to this young lady in the back who's thinking of diving in here. Well, I did everything I could to get you here tonight without telling you why. Now, girl, if you only would, please hold out your hand. Just close your eyes. Well, I've been dying to ask you one burning question. Will you be mine from here to eternity? I'm asking you to share your by your side. Promise my love. tear to your eye, does it? Huh? That makes me feel good. You can cry all you want.
Thus saved the year for this rain. I can't wait to see how it looks on your hand. I'll give you everything that one woman needs. One woman, man. I'll be strong, I'll be tender, man of my word. I will be yours from here to eternity. I'm asking you to share your life with me. Now and forever, I guarantee that I'll always stay by your side. Eternity.
54 years. Any folks here been married a long time? God bless you. Thank you for hanging in there. You inspire us all. Thank you. Good. Do we have any country music lovers in the audience? Any hardcore? I know that may seem like a cheap way to get applause, and thank you very much, it works. But, you know, everywhere I play, we have people that say they're country music fans, but I always like to find out who the hardcore fans are. So we're going to play a little bit of Name That Tune. And what I'm going to do is play a couple of chords from a famous country music song, and if you happen to recognize the name of the song or the name of the artist, and you're the first person to jump up and down and throw a hissy fit right there and call out the name of the song or the artist, then you'll be the proud winner of a free T-shirt. Well, I can see that has you very excited. All right, tell me the name of the song or the name of the artist. Here we go. Who said it first? Right. Garth, you said Garth Brooks? How'd you do that? I just played like one chord and you got it. Have you been on one of my shows before? Well, the good news is you're the winner. And the sad news is I have no idea who's going to be nice enough to actually give you their T-shirt. So... you know, the guy that wrote that song, a couple of years ago, I had a chance to get to know him a little bit, and I asked him, when you wrote Friends in Low Places, did the words come to you all at once? You know, I'm trying to figure out this songwriting thing, and he said, no, I had to really, really work at it. There was a lot of different versions. I said, well, would you help teach me how to write songs? Would you tell me, like, play me one of the early versions so I can see how the song changed from when it... You know, from when it finally got on the radio. And he said, okay, I will. He said, but you got to promise me and never play it for anyone else. Blame it all on the beans or not enough greens for ruining your black tie affair. I didn't mean to be rude. Stop for Mexican food. Now the guests are all starting to stare. Well, I saw the surprise and the tears in their eyes as you tried to hand me that glass. I said, well, I'd like that drink, but right now I think that I'd better pass. Y'all can't handle any more of this, can you? Oh, cause I got pains in low places, leaving stains and little traces. Not a good lunchtime song, is it? Down below, I think I'm about to blow. Yeah, I ain't big on social graces. obviously, everybody's making faces. Come on, you got to give me a big sing-along ending here in Kentucky, all right? Oh, I got pains in low places. Do, 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 do. That's too funny. I remember when I first started going to Tennessee, it was 12 years ago, and I used to hang out with all the other people. That's all right. I used to hang out with all the other people at the Ramada Inn on Thursday night, all the people from out of town, because we knew that was for sure one place where they'd let us sing. It's karaoke night, you know. We used to flip through the karaoke books and just imagine, you know, in our minds that maybe someday we'd have a song we wrote or a song that we sang that would actually be in the karaoke book. And I was blessed. A couple of years went by and I ended up with 5 songs in the karaoke book. And it was the winter of 1999. I had the number one song in the country on the Billboard chart. And some of my old karaoke friends called me up and said, "Hey, are you two like famous or something now to hang out with us?" I said, "No, that's all right." They said, "Well, what do you want to do?" They said, "Well, come on down here. We're going to go down to the Ramada Inn where we used to go hang out." We're still here, but... So I went down there and I walked in the place, and this first thing, man, this guy recognized me. He said, you have the number one song in the country right now. I said, "Well, thank you for noticing." He said, would you sing that song tonight at karaoke? Now, I don't know about you, but that's not the point of karaoke. Right, that's not the point. So I wasn't driving, so I got talked into it. And, a terrible mistake, because when I got done, this guy walked up to me. He said, "Man, you're really good, but you know Michael Peterson." It's bad when you can't impersonate yourself. But all I ever wanted to do was just try to make a difference, you know, with my music. And I heard a guy say a couple of years ago something that profoundly impacted my sense of what was possible with my talent. He said, "Music drives emotion, and emotion drives action." And so I've been really just sort of hot on that pursuit of how we could use music to move people around a purpose that would be larger than just selling records and being famous. And along the way, I had my hand in a couple of songs you may have heard on the radio. One that actually had something to do with farmers. See if you remember this. A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education. Two of them are searching for lost soul. That driver never saw the stop sign. The 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. Now there's 3 wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not 4 of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go." Y'all remember that song? Right. Sing along with me. That farmer left the harvest, a home and 80 acres, strength for growing things in his young son's heart. That teacher left her wisdom on the lives of lots of children, helped them all to have a better start. That preacher whispered, "Can't you see the promised land?" As he placed that bloodstained Bible in that hooker's hand. Now there's 3 wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
why there's not four of them. Heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's a sermon that our preacher preached last Sunday. He held that bloodstained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless that farmer, and that teacher, and that preacher. He gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. I'd like nothing better than to hear a sing along. There is three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess you know. Not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go.
That's great.
Now there's three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
Did you ever wish life had a rewind button? What would you go back and do if life had a rewind button? Anybody hollered out. Y'all have had boring lives, haven't you? Or how about a fast forward button? Must have an older audience today, I guess so. Or how about a pause button? You know your wedding day, birth of your children, or an erase button, your wedding day, birth of your children. I was trying to write a song one day, and we said, man, what if we could write a song about a different way to look at life? You know, what if life was backwards instead of forwards? What if you were born old and you died young? What would that look like? Don't you ever wish you could put off being young till you retire? Wouldn't that be something? Or live life backwards, start at the end, get dying over early, and then you just sit back your first 20-odd years and laugh, watching wrinkles disappear. And after you got tired of retirement, you'd start work, and on the first day, you'd get the gold watch in the corner office, the brass plaque that says you're the boss. You could start at the top, yeah, and work your way down. First college, then high school, then just hanging out for the sake of it. Think of it, what if we were able to live life from the grave to the cradle? I mean, think about it. At 16, you really would know it all. You'd have seen enough of life to know the small things ain't always small as they feel. Like your hands on the steering wheel of your first car, while your daddy co-signs, or your mama switching on the porch light, peeking through the blinds. It's your first date, first kiss, first time for all this. First thing on your must-do list would be to slow down and enjoy every moment. They go by so fast, for you know it, it's your terrible twos. Ain't as bad as it sounds, cause you're perfectly happy just crawling around. You'd get instant attention, oh, the second you cry, and go out as a gleam in your old man's eye. That'll make you smile. Oh, just for the sake of it. Oh, yeah, think of it.
What if we were able to live life from the grave to the cradle?
Thanks very much. Looking at things differently is a powerful, powerful tool. So a great speaker by the name of Wayne Dyer wrote a book called The Power of Intention. And in that book, he makes a classic statement. He says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I heard a great story last week, just an example of that. A friend of mine was standing in an airport in Pittsburgh, and a very distinguished Oriental gentleman came up to him and said, "You fly?" And he said, yeah, I fly. And the guy said, no, he said, you fly. And he started, this guy kept pestering him, and he said, you know, he thought, well, who is this guy, and why are you bothering me, you know? So he turned around to walk away, and the guy grabbed him by the shoulder and turned him around and pointed and said, "No, you fly. It's open." See, sometimes you think you know what's going on, but when you change the way that you look at things, the things you look at can change. And I guess that's what happened to me, you know. After about 700 shows, as Gene said in that beautiful introduction, in 3 years, I started losing touch with my family, and I was feeling disillusioned because just having hit records, it somehow didn't fill up my well. There was something more I felt like I needed to do. So I stepped away from the music business for a couple of years to figure out what was missing. And what was missing for me, I guess, was that I had spent 12 years prior to that speaking to kids all over the country with a motivational program that was designed to inspire them to live a quality life. And then I found myself just singing songs and trying to sell tickets, and there was just something, piece of that, that was missing for me. And in the midst of that, I began to just set my sights looking for a new purpose, some way to use music to drive emotion, and that emotion to drive a certain action. And so, thanks to New Holland, for the last year and a half, I've been exposed and impacted and affected by a community that, quite frankly, I didn't know a lot about because I didn't grow up as a farm kid. Found out an awful lot about the ag community that moved me. And we decided to make a CD that we could use to help raise money. So we put a CD together, and at these ag dealerships across the country over the last year and a half, we've basically made the CD available for purchase, and all of the profits go to charities. So we've given about $200,000 in the last year and a half to organizations like the FFA and 4-H. And it just feels so good. Thank you. It feels so good to be able to stand up and say, hey, buy my record. Because when you buy it, I know that it's going to a purpose that's larger than just taking care of myself. The funnest thing for me in the midst of all of that has been to find that I could connect my passion to a purpose and not just a job, you know. And it's been fun. Every time we go do one of these events, I ask if there's an opportunity. I'd love to speak to some of the young people that are there. And it's just a really simple message that I share with them, and that's this. You have a spotless future. And I know that because it hasn't happened yet. And you get to choose that. And it's just been so empowering to watch these young people respond to that and just have a simple reminder. As we've had a chance to speak to people in agriculture, my message has been really simple. If you ate food today, thank a farmer. And if you are a farmer or somebody in agriculture, maybe it's been a while since anybody stopped to deliberately tell you how strategically valuable and important you are to the future of our nation. I mean, things I found out about agriculture I didn't know. Like, to me, it was stunning to find out that less than 2% of the population drives between 20 and 25% of the nation's gross national product. That's farmers. I remember going to the National Corn Growers Association website and was stunned to find out that all the things are made from corn byproducts and soybean byproducts. You know, plastics and drywall and crayons. You know, the impact on our economy is astounding. And that got me excited and got me to where I really wanted to talk about that and help spread the word to people that are, you know, don't know that much about farming. And so we just have had so much fun doing that over the last couple of years. Your job in ag media, if it's been a while since anybody told you, is essential and crucial to the future of our nation's security. Number one, I know you're encouraging people in agriculture. But number two, you're helping to spread the truth about farmers protecting the environment, about farmers not just being people with their hands out waiting for government support, about the magic of putting a seed in the ground, adding a little sunshine, a little water, and growing the future. What you do is more than just a job. It's an essential contribution. And as I thought about what I might say to you today that might make a difference, I thought maybe a simple reminder to you that it is possible that being in ag media isn't just something that you do. It's who you are. And that's the power of it. It's who you are. And when you communicate, people feel the authenticity of who you are and what you do. And that's what really moves them at the end of the day. So I tip my hat to you and I say thank you. Because if it wasn't for folks like you, there wouldn't be folks like me. Helping to spread the word and the good word. Tim, I'm going to skip track 4. And I just want to go to the last track, track 5, in just a moment. We are a nostalgic nation, aren't we? We really are. We love nostalgia. But I heard a quote one time said, nostalgia is usually a longing for a place you'd never move back to. You know. But I think nostalgia at its best does more than remind us of our past. It inspires our future. And I think the media, at its best, does more than inform us of the present and the past. It inspires us and inspires our future. And that's an immeasurable contribution. So I'm excited to be here with you today. I've been looking forward to this for a month, to have a chance to meet you, to get to know you, to see how we can partner together to help get the word out. And I want to leave you with a song that I think, well, in fact, I know will definitely touch a nostalgic bone in your body. But hopefully it will also inspire as it reminds you of the possibility of your career to really make a contribution. Thank you so much for having me here today, and I hope I have a chance afterwards to meet you and shake your hand and just thank you personally. If you're on the web at all and you want to keep in touch with what we're doing, you can go to iRememberAmerica.com, which is the title to this song that I'll leave you with today. And in an effort to do more than just make music, but to move people, we've created a contest, an essay contest, where we have anybody who wants to participate in this can write a 400-word or less essay saying what they love about America and what they want to do to make America a better place. If you're a child, you can write for your grandma if she's going back to college. If you're a grandma, you can write for your grandkids. Anybody can participate in this. It's $4,000 prize money, $2,500 to the first place, $1,500 to the second, and $500 to the third. And second quarter, we're going to do a photojournalism contest. Third quarter, we're going to do a YouTube-style video contest. Fourth quarter, we're going to put out a book. We're talking right now with a couple of ag organizations about the possibility of using proceeds from that sale to go back to make a contribution. I love doing it this way. It's a lot of fun. So check me out at iRememberAmerica.com. You can see the video. Please do, because I never look better. And I thank you for allowing me to be in this space with you. Make it a great day. God bless you. God bless our farmers. God bless America. I remember America. I remember it well. When you could walk downtown on a Saturday night without the smell of fear on your shoulder as you jump at every sound. And you never looked in the eye of any stranger who could easily gun you down. I remember America. I remember every town. When crack was a sound that caps would make, and the only guns that kids would have around. I remember America. And I remember my friends. I remember America. And I want to be safe again. How about you? I remember America, and I remember the time when rock and roll was cool and fun, you didn't read between the lines. I remember America like you remember the dead. When freedom of speech wasn't every four-letter word a sailor never said. I remember America. Do you remember your school? Now it's graft and gangs and guards and guns and no respect for the rules. I remember America. When kids could walk alone, go to the corner for a root beer float, safely make it home. I remember America. And I remember my friends. I remember America. And make some noise if you want it to be that way again. You know we can. Come on. I remember America, and I remember my home, that any working man could proudly say it was something that he owned. I remember America, and I'll never forget the day, September 11th, 2001, when they tried to blow our dreams away. I remember America, and I remember my fallen friends. I remember America. Safe again. Little contributions do make a big difference. You are the communicators. And the thing that encourages me is that you know it's not just something that you do. It's who you are. And that's why it's going to move people. God bless you. Have a good evening. Thank you. Thanks.